Now on UK Health Radio, treat yourself to an upgrade. Pack away your low self-esteem. Leave behind that empty feeling. Stow your fears and doubts in the overhead locker. And go from stress to authentic success with Danielle Sachs.
Hello to you, and a big warm welcome once again to another show on this amazing platform, UK Health Radio. Whether you are listening to the radio show, on the website, on the run, on the podcast platform, whatever it is, I just want to welcome you and congratulate you once again for listening to all these inspiring and motivating shows that you can find on this platform. And of course, my show, From Stress to Authentic Success, is meant to inspire and motivate you, to guide you to go from stress into living that authentic success that you deserve. You are worthy of being your true self, of being true to yourself, and building a life that is totally yours. A life where success, whatever that means to you, is what you are living and experiencing. And so today I am actually really excited, because not just excited, I'm actually delighted and inspired myself, because I'm going to talk to someone who is actually really opened my eyes a little bit. When I read the bio, when I read what he's all about, Alan Heeks, Mr. Alan Heeks, has written quite a few books, and his latest book is called Natural Happiness. Now, Alan is an inspiring guide, really, in helping people cultivate their well-being through parallels with nature. And I believe he had an MBA, Harvard MBA. He had a successful career managing building materials businesses, but he has changed his whole life because he has been leading groups, education centers where he did workshops all about the organic farming, looking at nature, going into nature and listen there, what we can go parallel with in our own lives. So the organic farming instead of the mechanical farming, and today our own health and our own well-being. And I'm really, really excited to talk to him. So he, I believe, is even showing us, and I hope he can talk about it, the seven seeds of natural happiness approach. So his approach for individuals, for community groups, even doctors, to show what this is all about and how we can live a life parallel to nature. And so I'm really looking forward to this conversation, because I myself have gone in my seven-step journey, have gone from being stressed, being stuck in that outside success, in that striving for outside success, that achievement, and going into the natural process of who we are meant to be. And it is such a beautiful thing to do. So I'm really looking forward to this conversation that we are going to have just now after this little break. And just to remind you, if you feel inspired by any conversation I have, by any quote I give, any insights, any inspiration, please go to Instagram and follow me on Danielle_Sachs, or go to my website and download, you know, your weekly insights that you can get to inspire and motivate you in your inbox. So I will talk to you just now after this little break with Mr. Alan Heeks, of course.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. And as I said in the intro, I am absolutely delighted to speak to Alan Heeks today. Welcome, Alan.
Thanks a lot, Danielle.
I am so curious because I always like it when I see in front of me, I mean, you know, we are talking here in Zoom, when I see in front of me a man or a woman with a lot of experience, and you can say you have a lot of life experience. So I'm really curious to hear, what has been your biggest stress in life? If you look back at your life, what has been, because we're talking from stress. So let's start with that one.
Okay. Well, I think probably like quite a lot of people who have achieved quite a lot, I'm habitually very stressed, you know, so a lot of what I do comes from stress. I would say probably the worst period of stress in my life was I did my midlife crisis very thoroughly. So my 27-year-old marriage broke up 2 weeks before my 50th birthday. And, you know, soon after that, my main consulting client fired me. I had a cancer scare. So it was like everything collapsed all at once. And, you know, so that for me was probably the most stressful period of my life, I would say.
And did you see it coming? Was it like a chronically thing going on that you maybe ignored the signs, or that you, what makes it that it collapsed all in one?
Well, I think the way that the way I understand landslides happen is that if you were looking really closely, there would be cracks and early signs, but most people don't see them. So people experience a landslide very suddenly. And to be honest, that's what happened to me. I mean, yes, the marriage was in trouble for several years. So that I could see that it was in danger. But actually, my wife suddenly said, look, enough is enough. So that was sudden. The client firing me was really unexpected, and the health thing came out of the blue. So really, it took me by surprise, and it made me realize that although I thought I was fairly resilient, I really wasn't. You know, I hadn't really thought very hard about stress and resilience, and it was that crisis. You know, ever since then, a big part of my work and also my own sort of path has been about resilience. You know, I think it's becoming more and more crucial these days.
Yes. And did you see like a pattern of what was going on, like we say, the mind-body connection, that there was a lot of stress in the head, and that actually your cancer scare maybe was a reaction of your body or something going on in the body because of the, could you say that, or is that for you a separate thing?
No, I mean, I'm a great believer that our physical ailments are a reflection of the emotional or even the spiritual issues. And I mean, I actually then went on. So my second book is called Out of the Woods, A Guide to Life for Men Beyond 50. So by age about 61 and 2, I was on a retreat. And I remember sitting there thinking, God, my 50s were horrendous. But I've come through, you know, I've now happily remarried, health all right. And I thought, maybe there's something to share here. Mm-hmm. And when I wrote the book, I got very eloquent, what I called shipwrecks and reinvention.
Wow.
So I actually think that the nature of midlife for most of us is that we are due for a shipwreck. You know, sometimes we can see us going onto the rock. Sometimes it happens out of the blue. But that sense that in midlife, you actually need to dismantle and deconstruct who you think you are and actually rebuild it into who you want to be.
I so agree. Yes.
So that's how I've kind of made sense of it and sort of shared it with others.
Yeah. And what I believe and what I see in my practice, because you and I, we've both, you know, have been in this field a long time now. But what I see in my practice is that the midlife becomes younger and younger. Can you see that as well? That it's not just, you know, before it was 40s, 50s. Now midlife is around, you know, 32, 35. I have, you know, a lot of people. So can you see that too?
Well, absolutely. I'm laughing because, you know, my third book was about turning 70. I thought I got Creative Aging Suss. You know, I'd written the book. I was kind of an expert in aging in my 60s. And then when I got 68, I got really depressed about turning 70. I'm, this is terribly old. So I wrote a book about it, and I got very interested in the idea of elderhood. So, you know, I periodically organize men's retreats about elderhood. And exactly what you're saying. So, you know, I had a man of 42 say, well, am I too young to explore elderhood? And I said, no, you know, come on in. So I think you're right. Midlife, it's alarming, but it's happening earlier and earlier. And I think what it means is that we then have a succession, I know, like late life crises as well. Yeah. You know, for me, turning 70 was another crisis.
Yes. Oh, interesting. So you're talking a lot of about your books. How many books have you written? Because I don't know that.
I've written 4 in total.
So, and let's talk a little bit about the last one, but maybe it's important that whoever is listening knows that what is the intention about your last book? It's called Natural Happiness, eh?
It is. So one of the big changes in my life, I had quite a successful business career. But by age 42, I was getting quite disillusioned with the world of business. I was getting a bit burned out. And this crazy idea came to me, and it wouldn't go away. And the idea was of starting an organic farm. And it wasn't just a farm. The idea was that this farm would enable teenagers to kind of find their roots and find their direction as they try to make sense of adult life. And it was sort of like having a kind of dream where you think, well, that's a great dream, but it wouldn't go away. And I thought, oh, come on, you can't mean I'm meant to do this, because I had absolutely no experience of education or farming or teenagers. But eventually this idea kept coming to me. I thought, all right, you know, I'm due for an adventure. So I was ready to leave my business career. Wow. You know, I could afford to put the time in. So this, and the other joke about this, amazingly, it succeeded and it's still going strong. A place called Magdalen Farm in Dorset, still working with teenagers, still really doing great work. But the other joke,
what
for
is
me,
the intention? So that they what? Yeah. They find their own self, they find their own with nature, being
roots.
In nature.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think even it's even more valuable now when, you know, social media tends to be their reality. So for example, we'll take them out for a night walk, you know, learning to trust their senses in the dark, to trust each other. One of the other things I love is we do what we call a spade test. So, you know, it's an organic farm. We just get them to take a spade and dig up a spade full of earth and count the worms. And then we have permission to go on to the next door farm, which is all chemical farming, dig up a spade. They say, well, hang on,
difference.
There's no worms. Yeah, you know, you don't have to say a lot. They can see for themselves what difference it makes.
Wow. Beautiful work.
So it really does help them to kind of find their feet. But what was the joke for me was I needed an education as well. So, you know, I was kind of vaguely in favour of organic food, but I didn't understand the differences between organic farming and industrial farming until I got involved in setting one up. And the new book has basically come from that. So slowly I started to think, this is incredible. You know, an organic farm is actually an amazing model for how to cultivate human nature. And they're actually quite direct parallels. So, you know, just in an organic farm, you compost the waste as your main source of growth. And I think, well, hang on, you know, most of us spend a lot of time pushing away our kind of worried thoughts and feelings. Yes. What if we composted them as a source of energy and started to figure out how you could do that? Wow. And another one that I love is crop rotation. So, you know, in organic farms and gardens, when you've grown a demanding crop, what you then do is you rest the land or you grow what's called a renewal crop, like you grow clover there, which puts energy back into the earth. And so I've now got a really strong instinct that when I've been pushing myself to do something difficult, I don't say, well, now I'll push myself some more. I say, fine, well done. Now, you know, go for a walk, phone a friend, have a cup of tea. And that cycle of push and renewal. So the new book is basically what I've done since starting the farm. I've actually been running workshops. I've probably run workshops for several thousand people using this kind of organic growth model. And this is anyone from, you know, troubled teenagers at the farm through to very stressed out NHS doctors, and seeing that it works for them. So the book is not only based on my personal experience at the farm, it's based on all these workshops I've run. And I've sort of laid out 7 seeds of natural happiness, which are kind of 7 principles that map across from organic gardening and farming to how we kind of cultivate our own well-being.
Wow. So I was reading about you and I thought, this is so interesting, like healthy soil compared to healthy people. I suppose healthy soil compared to healthy mind. Isn't that the starting point? Or is the body also a big thing?
Very, very, yeah, the body's really crucial. I mean, I think a lot of people tend to think that a human being is like a complex mechanism, like a car or a computer, and actually it's far, far subtler than that. And what I started to understand was that the soil is a really subtle living ecosystem.
Of
And
course.
with organic systems, you can't impose your wishes. You have to kind of s understand it and steer it in the direction you want. And I think that's a much more realistic model of what most of us have to deal with. You know, when you're dealing with other people or complex situations, it's very rare for you to just be able to impose control and make it happen. You actually have to kind of dance with it and canoodle with it and understand it. And that's one of the key parts of the book is the skills to do that.
Is it not all about authenticity as well? Instead of being conditioned in this society, in this whole environment of social media, of pressure, of 24-hour availability, is it not of going back to your roots, your core, your essence?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I think the book's become much more relevant in the last 10 years. What I'm aware of is that, you know, we're living in really extreme pressure. I think all of
Yes.
us, you know, the complexity, the kind of fake news, the artificiality of social media world. So you're right. And I think what I feel like my book can do for the reader is not just to sort of feel better in nature, but really to understand how nature works, you know, how nature looks after itself and apply those same principles. So it's a much deeper engagement with how nature can help human well-being.
Wow. Can you explain to us, because anyone listening here and now saying, wow, that sounds very interesting. Can you do the first principle maybe and explain a little bit what, because the first step is always a big one for a lot of people. So is there a first advice, a first step, a first principle that you want to address here?
So the first principle, the first chapter of the book is called Nourish Your Roots.
Okay.
And I actually have a sort of short guided meditation in the book, which I call the tree talk.
Yes.
So I invite people to, you know, in an ideal world, you go outside and find a tree you like, and you'd actually kind of have physical contact with the tree. But it works quite well if you imagine it. So I'm asking people to imagine that they're kind of, you know, sitting with a tree, physically hugging a tree, and then to imagine that they're like a tree themselves. So I ask people to imagine that they have roots. And I say, imagine you've got roots spreading out under the ground, and your roots are giving you the same things as a real tree, which is, firstly, it's giving you nourishment. You know, your roots are drawing up nourishment from the earth. But secondly, your roots are spreading out to give you stability. This is why you don't fall over in the wind. So, you know, how big is your root system? Does it feel like it's big enough for what you need? Then ask them to imagine they've got a trunk like the tree that they're with. And I say that, you know, the trunk has to be both strong and flexible. You know, it mustn't fall over and mustn't snap because it's brittle. So do you have a good balance of strength and flexibility? And also that you can imagine that the trunk of the tree is where it processes its inputs to create its outputs. So I
Yes.
say, you know, are you using your inputs in
Good.
the way you want? Do you want it to be more effective? And then I ask them to imagine they've got a branch network high above their head, like, you know, the branch of a tree. And I say, you know, the branches are really where you are producing your outputs. You know, it's your berries, your fruits, your nuts, your flowers, whatever it is. And I say, well, how does the size of your branch network feel? Does it feel like it's too big, not big enough? And then finally, I say, now look at the balance of the system. Look at the
Okay.
balance between the inputs, the way you use them, and the outputs, and is it in balance? And I say, you know, this is where the analogy really works, because if you were a gardener with an apple tree that was out of balance, the main ways you can help it are firstly to nourish the roots, and secondly to prune back the branches, or a bit of each. And you know, time after time, people, wow, that's really powerful. And you know, the idea of pruning branches, I think, helps people say, well, that's just a natural, healthy thing to do. You know, cut back sounds terrible, but pruning, you think, yeah, that's a functional thing you need to do. So
I
that's a good
understand.
example of getting it from the inside, really.
Yeah, and I understand. And I, if I see in my practice, I see a lot of people, and I'm going to use your metaphor with the tree. I see a lot of people. There's no blossom, there's no fruit, there's no flowers. So, and it's a good metaphor, you know, to make people realize what kind of tree are you today and what kind of tree do you want to be or are you born to be? Is that it?
And it also, this is where the composting idea works really well, because if you were nourishing the roots, one of the ways you do it is with compost. So you're in my groups and in the book, I show people ways in which they can actually face into difficult feelings or thoughts and actually kind of get the insights and also the energy out of them. So it's almost like refining, you know, it's saying there are things like breathing methods, for example, where you can actually draw on the positive energy. But if you keep the metaphor going, then if you've got some nice compost as a source of growth, you can nourish your roots with it. And I think that really helps, because I mean, a lot of people are depleted because they don't know how to deal with difficult thoughts and feelings.
I agree. And it's a big, big problem. And as I say, people become younger and younger, even the 15, 16-year-olds today, you know, with all the social media and the disconnection. Isn't
Absolutely.
It a sort of disconnection with themselves?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, you know, my kids are grown up now, but I really follow closely friends who've got teenage kids, and it really pains me, because they're not really in touch with themselves. What they think of as reality is their likes on social media. And there's a really lovely book I found quite inspiring by two doctors at the Harvard Medical School called Your Brain on Nature. And it's looking at what it's saying is what effect is all these hours and hours on screens having? Because, you know, this is quite recent. And it's saying that the effect is that we can't really relax. You know, when we try and go to sleep at night, our brain is still buzzing round and round. But they also say that the best antidote to all that screen time is nature. And they say what nature offers you is what they call fascination. And you know, I'm looking out of the window at trees here, and I'm thinking, the thing about fascination is it's like, instead of your attention being constantly focused on this little screen and some artificial, you know, bit of news, nature just kind of relaxes you. You know, your attention just widens out and calms down.
And feeling and one with what is, instead of, you know, being disconnected because you see that. I heard, it's actually interesting, Alan. I had a little training that I did around stress, and I heard that there's an average of about 1500 swipes we do every day of, do I like it? Don't I like it? Do I share it? Ooh, that one is better than me. So there's a lot going on. So tell us a little bit more, because I found it so intriguing. Tell us a little bit more about what this has done to you in your life. What has brought, because it's, if I look at myself, I mean, I love what I do and I do what I love, and it makes me more and more authentic in who I am. How about you? How is this career, this, because I don't know your age. You want to share your age?
Yeah, I'm 75. I find it a bit of a shock,
Whoa.
But
fantastic. So tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. Well, when I look back, I would say that, you know, I wasn't fully myself in my business career. I was kind of playing out a game, and it's a bit like teenager with social media. I was kind of hooked into the business game and success within the rules of the business game. And I think that's what finally sort of drove me out of it. Say, there must be something else out there.
Yeah.
And I feel very, very fortunate that, you know, what I was, this image that I had about the organic farm and the landscape, it was clearly what I needed, as well as something that would help, you know, teenagers. So I think what I've, since then, I feel like I'm very much rooted in nature. And one of the things that I think is a crucial part of finding yourself is to believe that reality isn't just human reality. A lot of us think that's all there is to it. You know, it's what we see in the papers or on the social media.
I
think reality has many, many dimensions. And I think there's a huge amount of wisdom in nature. So, you know, I regularly sit down and talk with trees. And what I've discovered is that there's a real art to talking with trees. The most crucial thing is you have to slow right down. You know, if you try and have a conversation with a tree the way that we're having a conversation, nothing will happen, because we're at human speed, and you have to respect the speed of nature and the sort of the pauses and the working with intuition. So I'm just giving that as an example that I think, you know, nature has a huge amount of wisdom and is an amazing sort of role model for human nature.
I think nature might be the number one anti-stress thing
Yeah,
that
definitely. Yeah.
I truly believe that. Even just opening your window and breathing three times and looking at a sky or clouds or trees or anything.
Yeah.
I really do believe that. So how have you experienced this in the last, 'cause do you feel young and energetic, and is your work, of course you love what you do and you do what you
Yeah.
love, but is there any future purpose that you still think after this book? Because I want, of course, people to go and find out about the book on your website and buy it, because I think those seven seeds can be really, it's like my seven-step process. It
Yeah.
can be very important to find that true self and that authentic self. But is there anything that you would like to still manifest or realize?
Yeah, I do think that this book, Natural Happiness, for me, it's the most important of my four books because it's like a distillation of what I've learned and been teaching for, 25 years. And also, I actually think it's unique. It's quite hard finding this unique, but I literally don't know anybody else who's using this analogy in organic cultivation, human nature. So I feel very satisfied with it. I don't feel like there's something more that I need to achieve. But yeah, I find it quite shocking that I'm actually 75. I feel like I'm more like 65. I've still got plenty of energy. I certainly don't feel anywhere near ready to retire. And the big issues that I'm engaged with are really around the climate crisis and how we kind of face into it and grow through it. And there's a whole chapter in the Natural Happiness book about that. But the big thing I keep coming back to is increasing the resilience of local communities. I think the issues that are ahead of us are so big that you can't get through them as an individual or even a little household, but you can get through them as a group of people who can support each other emotionally and practically. So that's where a lot of my time's going at the moment.
Do you think that at 75, your energy, everything is, I think it is related to you being in nature and you going with the flow and the authentic flow? Yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I see people of my age who look like they're 85, and I think mostly it's because they're kind of focused in on themselves and they're not giving out and they don't have a sense of flow with nature. Yeah.
I think that's such a beautiful thing. Is there a quote or a statement that you live by, Alan, that you could share with anyone listening that, would be inspiring or motivating to indeed follow more or go more in nature? Or it doesn't have to do with nature. Whatever inspires or motivates you, maybe in
Well,
your crisis, what has
yeah.
inspired you?
I don't have a quote, but just speaking from the heart, I'd say really see yourself as part of nature and not separate from it, and engage with nature as a friend and a teacher.
Say that again.
Engage with nature as a friend and a teacher.
And give me one thing, just to finish off, one thing that it has taught you. What has nature taught you then, if you could choose one thing?
It's taught me to see myself as an organism and not as a mechanism. And what that means to me is if you're working with an organism, you have to respect, you have to treat it with respect. You can't fully understand it, but what you can do is treat it carefully, listen to it, and try and work with it instead of just imposing your wishes on it.
Explain that a little bit more. So give us a little bit how you, with your in your experience, how would you do that?
Well, just say there may be a gender thing here. I think, having worked quite a lot with men and men's groups, I think men tend to think of themselves a bit like a car, like a Mercedes. You just get in, start it up, point it in direction, and it'll go where you want it, when you want it. And actually, I think that. We're much more like, say, a horse than a car, meaning you've got to nourish it with the right food, you've got to respect the intelligence of the animal, you've got to look after its health. So to me, treating myself as an organism means being very careful about what I expect of myself. And I think these days I don't drive myself like a car. I try and kind of,
Wow.
steer myself like a horse, you know, and it's my friend, not merely a passive piece of hardware like a car is.
Wow, I really, really like that because I know that people sometimes take more care of their car than of themselves. So that's another, metaphor, but do you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people have really, I think it's quite sad that people don't really understand the art of self-care. And you could say that one of the things the book offers, Natural Happiness, is actually a process of self-care. It's like a roadmap. You know, if you think, yeah, I should look after myself more, but you don't know how to do it, all these parallels with organic gardening, I think because they're so down to earth, it's not like theoretical. It's real things like planting seeds and watering plants and composting.
Yeah, but do you agree that people still, when I started talking about self-love and self-care 25 years ago, it was not known, people didn't know. But today I found that people talk about self-care as if it is only drinking water, sleeping enough, exercising. And don't you think that self-care is quite a holistic, big kind of,
Yeah,
circle, almost
absolutely.
like a complexity that people need to understand. It's an art, as you say.
Well, that's why I think metaphors around ecosystems and organisms help people. As you're right, it's not because I think, yeah, just bring it down to, 30 minutes of aerobic exercise or take the right vitamins. That's all still mechanistic,
Yes,
and it's
I
much
agree.
subtler and it's much more holistic. I agree with you.
Yeah, and it's much more going to see and feel which are my needs, what does my body need, what does my n mind need, instead of the conformity of, oh yeah, 30 minutes of exercise a day. It's about your body and your essence and your, do you agree?
Well, exactly. And I think that's what I'm saying about what I've learned from nature is that sense of really listening. So I think I've now have a sort of intuitive feeling about what my body needs instead of my brain thinking it should be X.
Yes. And I think that's an important one for the younger generation as well, because they look at the outside world of what's happening there, and that's then, influencing them, even more, instead of going within and feeling what is it that I want and that I need. And so thank you so much for those metaphors. I love metaphors, Alan. So I'm really curious to see what's in your book, just to finish off. Is there one more advice thing that you want to share with anyone?
I think one of the other ways I look at this book is that it's a self-help book for people who don't like self-help books.
Okay.
People quite often think self-help books are a bit precious or a bit new agey. I think we all need help these days. I think we're
Yes.
living in very stressful times. So, if you feel like you need help but you don't like self-help books, then try Natural Happiness.
I so agree with, and the same with books. It's not because it's a book for someone else that it's a book for you. So maybe it's really worthwhile going and see what this book can offer anyone listening. I'm sure that it's a book that can shift you out of stress and get you into authentic success. My last thing for you is the question, what is authentic success to you? And then we're finishing off. Because the show is called From Stress to Authentic Success. We've discussed the stress part. What is authentic success to you, Alan? Because I'm sure you're living authentic success today.
I'd say it's about fulfilling your, well, actually, to me, it's about fulfilling your divine purpose. I think we're all here for some higher reason, for some reason of service and benefit. And if I feel I'm fulfilling that, that's what I would call authentic success.
Beautiful. And do you feel like you're living it?
I do. I really regularly try and say, what am I here to do? And
Ah, love
putting
that.
myself in service. And I think that's again the change. I have to say that my business career is very ego driven. My ego still needs a bit of wrestling with sometimes, but I think I'm more focused on, how can I be of service? And that's what I would call
Right.
real success.
I'm gonna end this interview with that. How can I be of service and significance? You know, that's for me always a question. If you want to find your purpose, your authentic self, your essence. And I believe, and I'm glad I spoke to you today, Alan, because I believe nature indeed has the answers sometimes for us if we listen. You see, so thank you for your, you know, your time, your inspiration. I'm really inspired, and I'm sure anyone listening is too. Thank you, Alan.
Been a real pleasure. Thanks a lot, Danielle.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Oh, yes. Welcome back. What a beautiful, authentic conversation and connection this was, because I can really feel how Alan Heeks is a man of substance, a man of service, a man who has a purpose. And I really, really appreciate that, respect that, and even admire that. Because when you know that Alan is 75, I didn't know. So when you look at him, when you hear him talk about his passion, about organic farming, how it has changed his life to go back to nature and work with the natural process, with all the skills that it takes, observation, patience, all that, I really, truly have a lot of respect for this man. And I think there's a lot in that conversation that you and I can start immediately implementing, because as he was saying, and I don't think it's just midlife that is a shipwreck. I see it in people's lives here in my practice every day, how we push and push and push ourselves and really chase outside success. Even the youngsters, the outside success in social media, when you see it, they are all, you know, lying on a beach somewhere earning millions. And that's not reality. So as he said, we need to stop that human reality and go and find the wisdom into nature and even go with the flow of nature, meaning slowing down and go with the speed of nature. I really, really like that. Did you understand his visualization with the tree talk? Wasn't that interesting? How he compares, and I love metaphors. So to go and see yourself as a tree, just do the exercise. See yourself as a tree. Go into, feel your roots, put your feet on the ground and feel those roots going into the earth and slurping that, you know, nourishing yourself with that life force of the earth. I know that exercise. I do it with my clients in hypnosis, and it is a powerful exercise. So you can listen to it as much as you want and go back on listen on demand if you want. But this exercise, what he was talking about, the tree talk, is a really, really powerful thing to do. And so instead of going for your chase and your achievements of outside success, there is nothing more important. And we addressed it as the art of self-care. And we talk about holistic self-care, the mind, the body, the spirit, everything. And that element of listening is such a big part of it. It's not just drinking water. It's also listening to your intuition, listening to your core, to your inner voice, listening to nature. All these things, I really love that. It's the antidote of stress and anxiety. It's the antidote of living in your head. It's going into the present moment and listening. We can learn so much if we just listen. And so authentic success, just to finish, authentic success to him is fulfilling your higher purpose. And I just want you to know, wherever you are in the world, I hear you, I see you. And if the question that I asked you in the beginning of this show, if you are living in your head, being on autopilot, really feeling stuck, really not feeling worthy, etc., I urge you to seek help, to connect with me for guidance. There are so many opportunities out there where you can start going into your essence. Let your essence navigate your life, meaning your essence is one with nature. So I'm going to close off this episode with saying to you that if you want guidance, go and connect. Go and connect with Alan. Connect with me, Danielle@DanielleSachs.com. Go onto social media and be inspired and motivated by my posts, not the superficial things, but the authentic you. Start being true to yourself. Step into the nature of you, of who you are, because that's where everything starts and lies. I'm going to leave you for now. I'm going to give you a big hug from Belgium, and I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye for now.
From Stress to Authentic Success was presented by Danielle Sachs. Join Danielle at the same time next week here on UK Health Radio. And meanwhile, for more on how to thrive in business and everyday life by being true to yourself, go to DanielleSachs.com.